Today on Straight Talk Africa, every child deserves to be happy and safe every day. Three gracious African women who are dedicated to making it so are walking the talk. And that's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ian Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, we bring you three gracious African women who are trying to empower, transform, and protect disadvantaged children and orphans in Africa.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
Most of us want to do the right thing, and many of us try very hard. Today, you'll meet three gracious African women who are doing much more than that. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
When surfing the net, most people see the donate button and quickly move on. These women hope you'll linger there a little longer.
For upon our children rests the future of tomorrow's world. Ruth Bahika is the founder of the Grace Villa Sanctuary for Girls. Those words grace all Ruth Bahika's correspondence. They might as well do the same for Amelia Adjaye, founder of Empower the Children, and Sarah Kazozi of the Heart to Heart Initiative. Again, for upon our children rests the future of tomorrow's world. And because all children deserve to be happy and safe, they do what they do. Ruth founded Grace Villa in southwestern Uganda on March 3, 2013. Grace Villa is home and sanctuary, now supporting over 120 orphans and vulnerable girls ages 3 to 21. Ruth is a child psychologist. Her nonprofit provides a warm, beautiful home in the hills of Kigezi in Uganda. Within its walls, the girls are nurtured, counseled, and exposed to life-fulfilling programs and opportunities. They learn skills, photography, entrepreneurship, sewing, and baking. They have an all-girls soccer club, and much more.
And Grace Villa is more focused on girl child.
It is.
Why?
We'll have a Grace Villa for boys eventually, with a boy, you know, a male chaperone and warden in that home. If you look at all the statistics out there, they talk about if you empower a woman or a girl, she's more likely to help her family and her community. In fact, the statistics are pretty huge. It says a girl will give 90% of her earnings to her family and her community. And can you guess what a boy would do? A boy would give 35%.
Of her experience at Grace Villa, one woman resident put it like this: Grace Villa means I can learn and be anything in this world, and nothing will obstruct me. Amelia Adjaye founded Empower the Children, ETC, in 2016. Her nonprofit is dedicated and committed to empowering and transforming the lives of orphans, abused, and underprivileged kids in Africa. She's an author, coach, and speaker, a loving parent, a role model to those she cares for at the Children's Center in Kenya. The center is a safe haven for children from poor, high-crime neighborhoods and provides free education, books, toys, and food to young people who might otherwise wander the streets of nearby Kayole. ETC actively raises funds and is working to set up other safe havens and a center for needy children in Ghana. Sarah Kagala Kazozi helped found and establish H2H, Heart to Heart, Hand in Hand International. The Christian-based nonprofit concentrates its efforts in Kenya and Uganda. With others from Africa and the diaspora, Sarah and her Heart to Heart initiative is improving the lives and futures of underprivileged children and struggling communities in rural Kenya and Uganda. H2H projects in Malaki Village, Kenya have made clean water more accessible. H2H provides community education, medical care, and care of all sorts to orphaned children at the Family Youth Center there. With her husband Franklin, the help of founders Bob and Gloria Cooper, volunteers in Africa and worldwide, H2H expansion and similar projects are planned and underway. In Kenya, H2H is building a brand new transition home for children there. The Heart to Heart Foundation provides food, home, necessities, medical care, and more for children between the ages of 3 and 17. Sarah and Franklin, like Ruth Bahika and Amelia Adjaye, like their founders, co-workers, benefactors, and volunteers, are walking the talk. They hope you, too, will know the joy of helping vulnerable, less fortunate children and orphans in Africa realize the safe, happy lives and futures all children and people deserve. Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. And joining us here in the VOA studios are three distinguished guests, Amelia Adjaye, author, coach, speaker, and founder of Empower the Children, Ruth Kendeje Diabahika, founder and CEO, Grace Villa Sanctuary for Vulnerable Girls, and Sarah Kwagara Kasozi, co-initiative founder and executive director, Heart to Heart Initiative. Well, ladies, I have to say sincerely that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to interview the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, our audience, a chance to call our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately. Amelia, of course, you're not new on Straight Talk Africa. I remember you last here about two years ago.
Yes.
You were talking about a book.
Right.
You were an author.
Yes.
And this time you come around as a sort of philanthropist or what?
So definitely I've always been a person willing to help, to give back, to make a difference. So when God gave me the vision to help kids, less deprived kids, it was just a natural instinct for me to start Empower the Children, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated and committed to empower and transform the lives of orphans, less privileged and abused kids in Africa, because every child deserves to be loved, be happy, and to grow up in a safe environment.
What inspired you to do that?
Definitely growing up seeing hardship and poverty. So definitely being in the United States and having the opportunity to give back, to help. And as I said, it's just a natural instinct. That's so much me.
It's very interesting that before the show, we had a chat and I told you about my, I call it a pilgrimage to Nkrofu, the birthplace of perhaps Africa's most celebrated son of the soil, the Osagyefo,
right.
Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. I went with his daughter. We drove from Accra to Nkrofu. We spent a night at Takoradi, and I looked at the conditions this man came from. I could not believe that a kid from Nkrofu would end up becoming the visionary of the black race of the continent. You know, he said on March 6, 1957, that the independence of Ghana would be meaningless unless it was linked with the total liberation of Africa.
Right.
And he basically did not simply talk the talk, he actually walked the talk so that most of Africa could walk the walk. Did that in any way inspire you at all? Because I realized that your center, in fact, is based in Kenya, not Ghana.
Right, so when God gave me the vision, my natural instinct was to start a center in Ghana because that's where I'm from. But I know God has a way of getting us out of our comfort zone and stretching us and making sure that you are really dedicated and committed to the assignment. So he divinely connected me to a lady, passionate lady called Frida Ronge. She had a center in Kenya that she'd been running for 5 years and it was on the verge of closing down because she couldn't manage it. So we got connected and I said, no, we are going to do this together. And that is the beauty of it, because most of the time, everybody wants to start their own small organization, small center, but there's power in teaming up, in collaborating, and in partnership with one another. And together, we have kept the center and kept the children at the center.
What is the response from the ground so far?
Amazing, because as I said, these kids were not in school. Most of them are home due to the AIDS epidemic. Most of them, their grandparents are raising them, poor family in the slums. So having this learning center to come in the morning, they study, they have games, it's just a safe haven for them. So definitely, and these are our future leaders, Mr. Shaka. No matter the situation or their current circumstances, these kids are going to grow up to be our future leaders. And most definitely, these are the lawyers, the doctors, the presidents that we have. And that's why it's important that we invest in them and then make sure that they grow up to be responsible citizens.
Very interesting. I come to you, Ruth Kendeje, dear Vahika, Vahika, a girl from Kabare.
Yes.
And I think the last time I checked, I do have a very special connection with that neighborhood.
Yes, you do.
I normally call myself, in fact, a kid from Kabare. How does it feel like to be a kid from Kabare?
Well, thank you. Such an honor, let me first say, to be on your show. And for so many reasons, and one of them being you are our Kabale kid. And I know I wouldn't be able to walk the streets of Kabale safely if I didn't say greetings from your homeland. You are one of those people who is a beacon out there. When we speak, we talk about inspirations for our children. And just even the name Shaka Sali, and seeing that you are on such a prominent show, a prominent stage, you make us very proud and you inspire so many young and old. So I'm very proud to be from Kabale for very many reasons. One, I've mentioned, but also because it's one of the most beautiful places on earth, literally, and with some of the most amazing people that you could ever meet. Very hardworking, very tenacious, very kind, very straightforward, as you know, that's what our reputation precedes us.
The shortest distance between two points has to be a straight line.
There you go. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yes.
Now, Ruth, let's look at your two specific names. Kendeje. Is that in any way related to a plane, an aircraft?
Yes, it is.
And what about Ndiavahika? I will access or reach them?
Yes, that's correct. So my middle name, Kendeje, I'm proud of it now. It has a background to the story. My mom and my dad are both reverends. Reverend Canon James Ndiabahika, he passed away about 2 years ago. And my mom, Reverend Canon Grace Ndiabahika. So I was born, my age is going to be put out there, but I was born in a time of strife of the day when Idi Amin was president of Uganda. And he was targeting religious leaders as some of, you know, that was one of his targets. The bishop of Church of Uganda at that time was the late Bishop Festo Chivenjere, and he decided to send my parents off to for further studies in Chicago. So my mom, expectant, was pushed onto a plane. The story says she was crying, saying, I don't want to leave my family, but she basically we ended up in Chicago, Illinois. So I was on a plane when I was in my mom's belly.
Very interesting.
So that's the genesis of the name Kendeje.
So what inspired you to establish Grace Villa Sanctuary for vulnerable girls? Is it part of your names? What is it? Is it Grace?
Yeah.
Grace happens to be, in fact, the first name
of
your mom. The last time I checked.
It is.
You may not know this, by the way, but your mom and I think breathed the same air, same compound, at some primary school called Chikunjiri Primary School.
Yes, well, we've heard stories about you growing up in that neighborhood. Yes, and I do know that my mom knows you. In fact, she sends you greetings, as does the Chikunjiri neighborhood. Grace Villa is named after my mom because she is one of my inspirations. You asked me about my inspirations. And if I think about that deeply, I think that there are three main things: my family, my faith, I'm a born-again Christian, and also children. So my family, as a reverend's family, if you are born in such family, you know that your life is pretty much not your own. Your home belongs to the community. We're taught empathy, you know, what we learn about given to others as you would want given unto you. So that's the kind of background that I grew up in. And then children have basically shaped my destiny. I loved children right from when I was young myself. I remember I started as the Sunday school at All Saints Cathedral in Kampala when it had become defunct, mm-hmm. when I was in high school myself. So I have little kids who call me auntie. I mean, grown-up people who call me Auntie Ruth, and people wonder, but I started when I was in high school myself. So I've always loved children, and it's shaped my education because I'm a child psychologist, and it shaped ultimately my destination, me now being in Kabale. I'm looking after vulnerable children because as I went through life, as I grew old, I started realizing that not everybody grew up in the kind of home that we grew up in, safe, loved, encouraged, empowered. There are some who actually don't have anything to eat. They can't go to hospital when they're sick. So what can we do? What could I do, me who had a love for children, to help children such as these? So these are some of my driving factors.
Very interesting. You talk about children, but yet, in fact, you seem to specifically deal or provide services to young girls.
Yes.
What about the boys? Because someone may say, wait a minute, there is a move in Uganda, the last time I checked, to remove the age cap in the constitution, because the president, in fact, says it discriminates against that type of age. We're talking about 75 and above. What about someone who might say, you seem to be, in fact, discriminating against boys?
Well, they would be correct in a way. It's not it's not really discrimination. It's because I had to start somewhere. I started Grace Villa myself with my family. It's a very small organization, and we're not funded by any big umbrellas. Uganda does have a code that you go by when you're looking after children, a very strict code. And they have guidelines for how many people should be within a home when you're looking after children. And if you have boys, then you have to have certain males within that home. So we're going to grow. Grace Villa is going to grow. And as we grow, we'll probably, it is in our plan to have a boys' home, like to actually bring in the components that would make having boys in the home. So if you are given perimeters of having to start somewhere, I'm a girl, so it's easier for me to look after young girls. Then also, I think you saw it in the clip, statistically, it makes more sense to start where the most impact will be made. So we love boys. I do actually look after a couple of boys, some of the boys who we have, but they're not really, really in the program, but we do look after them. We pay their school fees and stuff. So we do have some boys here and there, but we had to start somewhere, so we started with girls.
You know, there's a saying that, and in fact, a lot of studies support that if you educate a boy, at the end of the day, you probably actually get an individual. But that if you educate a girl, at the end of the day, you actually get someone that impacts the community,
right.
The neighborhood.
And I'm actually seeing it already in our older kids, some of our older kids who have crossed the 18-year line. They all want to be social workers. They all want to do education. And whenever we have a day when we can bring in like sports day, you find them bringing random kids from the community who are not even their relatives, but because they want them to also get to get involved in the fun things that we're doing, benefit in some way. So we see the girls actually already reaching out there into their communities as they grow older.
It takes a village or a neighborhood to raise
a child.
Right. Indeed. Let's come to you now, Sarah Kwagala Kasozi.
Yes, sir.
Oyagala Kasozi?
Mwagala.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Heart to Heart Initiative.
Well, Heart to Heart Initiative is an organization that is based in Uganda. We work closely with Heart to Heart Hand in Hand International, so they are kind of mixed up. Heart to Heart Hand in Hand International is in the United States, and it's led by a lady called Gloria Cooper and the husband, Bobby Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very independent organizations, but in partnership.
Where are they based in the United
They are in
States?
Oregon.
Oregon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, Heart to Heart Hand in Hand International is the one that is based in Uganda and Kenya. Heart to Heart Initiative is based in Uganda, and that is the one that was founded by me and my husband, Franklin. It is more of the wild when you speak about children. We are more into communities.
Mm-hmm.
We are more into the streets. We are more into every place where the children are. And we are more focused on family preservation. Why? Because we think that if we can really rebuild these families, If we can strengthen the families, we are going to have less children on the streets. For over 10 years, I've been working with children. I've worked closely with the police and the probation office. They'll give you a call. We have so many orphanages in Uganda. We have so many children's homes in Uganda. But the police is always calling up and saying, Sarah, do you have any space? You go to the police, you find you've come for one child, but they really have like five children there. And they don't have anywhere to place them. And the probation officer is also going to tell you the same story. So we need to find a solution. We have the effects. The children are on the streets. Mm. So why don't we deal with the causes? That is why Heart to Heart Initiative was born.
What inspired you?
What inspired me? Well, I'm going to tell you a short story. When I was growing up, at the age of 13, I lost my mother. When she died, things changed. Of course, usually things change. And then kind of I thought I can get some justice for these things. And I wanted to be a lawyer.
You wanted to be a lawyer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to really fight for the rights of children. I always thought that it is the lawyers that fight for the children's rights. I worked too hard. Mm-hmm. I went to Makerere University. Mm-hmm. I was not given law. I was given a chance to apply for change of course, you know, things of Makerere.
How did you get to Makerere? Who paid your fees or your tuition?
I have a father. I even have aunties. They really paid everything. Mm-hmm. But I had emotional issues. You come to realize in Uganda or in Africa generally, people do not realize that children have emotional needs. They always say the parent can never be wrong. In my language, they say, omzade tasovia. A parent is never wrong. And so I had so many emotional issues in my heart.
Have you since discovered that parents, in fact, can
go wrong? And they never admit it. So, and that is why we come up and we are like, parents need to be sensitized. They need to come to realize that children have needs. They have emotional gaps. And so when I went to the university, I got a chance for the change of course that I never used. I still applied for law. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd gone for something like social work or something, but mm-hmm. I went for law and I didn't get it.
Couldn't you go somewhere else other than Makerere?
My dad insisted, my daughter, first daughter in the family, you go to Makerere University. It was the most prominent university in the country. So I went to Makerere and I did urban planning. Urban planning covers a lot of social community work, how to plan for communities. I really loved sociology and I said I can really find a route here. When I left the university, I went to my pastor. I'm born again like her. Mm-hmm. And when I went to my pastor, I told him, Pastor, for me, I'm not going to look for a job. We are so close, he's a spiritual father. And he said, tomorrow, dress up, I'm taking you to my friend. I went with him to a pastor called Pastor Arnold Mwonge. He has a very big organization called NDE Network, mm-hmm. and they have a very big children's home called Kampala Children's Center. And Pastor Arnold, of course, I went. I'm a very good translator. They call them interpreters in church. Mm-hmm. And he had a conference. He gave me an opportunity to translate, and I did so well.
Translate what? What specific
the gospel.
Language?
As he was preaching, I was translating to the local language, back to English, like that.
The indigenous Luganda?
Yes, Luganda. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Arnold said, you have a job. And I had a job as an assistant manager in a children's home. At the same time, I was his executive assistant. And that is how I found my way in childcare. That is 10 years ago. Now, 4 years later, I'd left Pastor Arnold. I find myself in another organization. It's called SAFE, Strategic Action for Eradication of Child Abuse. Now, you know how things, that is destiny. How do they come up? I wanted to fight for children's rights. And here I am, Strategic Action for Eradication of Child Abuse. Mm. And I've not enjoyed anything like fighting for children's rights. That is where I found the path. I worked for SAFE for so many years until I realized that, yes, SAFE is doing a very good job. It's fighting for the rights of the children. We have been rescuing, rehabilitating, resettling children. But then I felt the need of going back to the communities and doing a deeper job. Mm-hmm. And also widening the gap, not only working with children that are abused, but opening up for even other children, like children that are more vulnerable. They have other issues like the street children. They do not have any issue of abuse, but they need care. They need to be helped. And that is how Heart to Heart Initiative was born.
What are some of the specific challenges that you have met, and how have you been able to overcome them?
One of the biggest challenges is every time you work with children, people in our communities think that you're supposed to take care of these children. Well, my heart really cries out to make people understand that these children are our responsibilities. If you wake up in the morning and you have a child, it is your responsibility to take care of this child. You do not have to have a lot. But as you work with children, everyone will come and say, please, can you find me a place in this organization? Can you really take care of my child? At least I'll really try and say, I'm dead. I can keep away for this child for these many years. But our communities need to understand that these children need love. There is nothing greater than having a parent by your side. Children belong in families. But in Uganda, we have a challenge. You may find that majority of institutions have children that have parents but are being termed as orphaned.
I hope no one out there in the audience sues me or accuses me for actually hosting three beautiful, gracious women who happen to be somewhat very, very religiously motivated here. Religious. That's one thing that the three of you have in common.
Yes.
Are you also born again?
She definitely.
Oh my God. Very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
So how is the response so far?
The response?
Yeah, on the ground, we're talking about Uganda, we're talking about Kenya.
Yes, now, in Uganda, I've really gone to communities. I do teachings, educating communities, we do forums. We have gone to the slums.
Are we talking about Kibera here? Kibera,
Kampala.
Like in Kenya?
No, we are talking about Kampala.
Kisenyi.
Uh-huh. There is Kakajo.
Uh-huh.
There is the names are skipping, but all the slums of Kampala.
Mm.
We have been down to Mulago. We have been down to Kalere.
Mm-hmm.
All those areas. There is Sambia, Gogonya area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have been going to these places and sensitizing these people. As we teach and talk to the parents about child abuse, they really do not even know what child abuse is. For example, when you talk about physical abuse, they say it's discipline. The parents will raise up their hands and ask questions and say, I have to discipline my child.
Do they talk about, causes, for example?
The causes of the indiscipline?
Yeah.
They are very minor causes. Like, I spoke to my child and this child did not react positively. But if a parent comes yelling at you, what do you expect? There is a parent that comes asking a child, why have you done this? When the child begins to answer back, the parent is going to say, why do you answer back as I speak? And when the child keeps quiet, why do you keep quiet as I ask you? The child is confused. So issues like that. And when you come to emotional abuse, of course I say they do not realize there are emotional gaps in children. They do not understand the need for emotional support in children. And when you come to sexual needs, they always want to cover up.
Now, for you to be able to do some of those things, if not in fact all of those things probably, you definitely need the bottom line.
Yes.
We're talking about money here.
Yes.
How do you get money? How do you get funding?
Number one, funding is a very big challenge. Now, I just get aggressive. We do not have the enough funding, but we get aggressive. I've gone to communities and spoken to people without any money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they decline because in our communities, people believe you have to fund the local leaders for you to hold a meeting.
Hmm.
You have to fund everyone. You have to buy sodas for people to sit down and attend these meetings.
We'll come to a little bit more of that later. What about you, Emilia? Where do you get the almighty money from?
Definitely, as Ruth said, that what we are doing, we are very passionate and we're sacrificing a lot. Because to start such an organization, you have to definitely do your own personal funding. And a lot of sacrifice. Definitely no Black Friday shopping for me, no more. No more buying. I mean, I've cut down on buying shoes and handbags, but it's really difficult. So that's why we have to change our mindset as the African community, always saying they. We have to change our vocabulary into I, me. What can I do? How can I help? And each and every person, so long as you are living on this planet and you are breathing, there is something you can offer to help to make a difference. It could be your time, your money, your skills, and your services, and volunteering your time with these children who are in need, who need the love and support and a role model.
We'll get to a little bit more about that later. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidi Uwat, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Well, thanks, Shaka. We received excellent social media feedback this week. We look at how three nonprofit organizations are making a difference in the lives of orphaned and underprivileged children in Africa. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asked, should the protection and well-being of underprivileged children be the responsibility of government or civil society? Well, let's start the conversation with a tweet from Citizens for Africa, who writes, of course, government. They collect taxes. They are sworn to uphold constitutions and laws, and they commit to treaties. Well, we have another tweet from Sir John, who tweets, governments are responsible. They talk about the future and visions. These underprivileged children are part of that future. Well, let's go to our comment of the week from Facebook fan Elion Mwenda in Zambia, who writes, it's primarily the responsibility of government through its policies to ensure a safe and conducive environment is provided for the underprivileged children, especially children. Let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Sade Jabarte in Liberia, who has a difference of opinion. He writes, civil society must be given that responsibility, and government support or funding should be channeled through NGOs. Attempts should be made to avoid the duplication of the same task. Government-run projects in Africa are too wasteful. And our last Facebook comment comes from Derek Tulugende, who writes, in Africa, the values with which the child is brought up are defined by civil society rather than government. Government contributes through upholding national values, but the child should be brought up by civil society. It's very interesting. It's like they say, it does take a village. A reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. To comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. To join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. To watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, A Journey from Evil, VOA's special documentary about the Boko Haram terror group. The VOA film premiered in London on November 8th, so stay tuned from Boko Haram, A Journey from Evil, on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guests have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Ayen, for sharing some social media reaction with us. And welcome back. And today's topic is about three gracious African women who are trying to empower, transform, and protect disadvantaged children and orphans in Africa. Our distinguished guests are Emeria Ajay, Ruth Kendeje Ndiabahika, and Sarah Kwagara Kasozi. Well, ladies, again, I have to say frankly that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. I have to come to you, Ruth, especially because I didn't actually come to you when I was talking about funding. Tell us, how do you get the almighty funding? You need that, don't you?
Very important. You can't help if you don't have the resources to help. So when I knew that I was going to do this, when fate put me along this path of Grace Villa, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. I had been living there for about 20 years.
Wow.
A long time. Mm-hmm. And so when I decided to move home, I didn't just move. I planned. I tried to systematically plan as well as I could. So for about two years, I was saving and creating an account called the Grace Villa account and talking to people to ask them to get involved. I had a good bank account, some of money on there, and I moved back to Kabale. And within a short time, I realized that I didn't have a big sum of money on my account.
You actually didn't have a deep pockets,
No, I did, which I thought I did, but apparently I did not. Uh-huh. So I really struggled in the beginning. I have a strong, supportive family, like I mentioned, my brother Apollo, my sister Rochelle, they both live abroad. So they helped quite a bit in putting out the word to people, asking them to chip in. Even my extended family. Remember I mentioned my inspirations are family, and when I speak family, I also meant my extended family. There's a group, we call them the Nyonyozi family. In fact, if you're watching, hello, they've been very, very supportive. But also a big surprise was the community. The community has really, really embraced us.
Which community?
In Kabale and in Kampala. Mm-hmm. I'll start with the Kabale community. Even the ladies who we would call poor, like a farmer with a small patch of land with like two chickens, she'll bring us eggs, you know. I have a friend who works in a library there, and she's young, she's not wealthy. Her name is Juanita. She gives us milk every single day. She pledged about 2 years ago and has never missed a day of giving us enough milk for the kids in the home. So even people on the ground who don't have much, they see what we're doing. They bring us potatoes, you know, things like that. And then in Kampala, there's a group, well, around Uganda, there's a group we call the Grace Villa family. And they joined us when I was talking to my friend here about how we do an annual climb for Grace Villa. This is trying to find creative ways to fundraise while bringing a community together with the same purpose of benefiting these children who need the help. So we called it the Climb for Grace Villa. Mm-hmm. Last year we climbed Mount Muhavura. Mm-hmm. This year we climbed Mount Morongole in Kidepo.
I see.
So
you're talking about Karamoja here?
Yes, we went four nights in Kidepo.
I used to hang around Kidepo there when I was wearing a different hat as a soldier paratrooper.
Ah, completely different parallel universes. Because we went for fun, but it's a really stunning place so it was really beautiful. But a good thing that happened that we didn't expect was we formed a community around the people who climbed. And we have this WhatsApp group, and these people bring in their different elements. Some are doctors, some are photographers, some are social people, some are, you know, and they bring in their different experiences, different ways that they can help. And as a collective, I think both of you mentioned it, that you can't do something alone. So as a collective, you just keep finding all these amazing people out there in the world.
What about the government, for example? What about corporations?
I have not been helped at all by the government financially. I've tried, but completely failed for now. And I hope if anybody is watching, especially in Ministry of Women and Gender or, you know, in education, you know, we really, really need help. But we've received help from some corporations. Airtel has sponsored us before.
Well, that's a corporation.
Yes, they have. We've been sponsored by the hotels where we stay during the climb. Some of us give us really big discounts. So here and there we're getting help, but we realized at the onset that we need to be creative on our own.
So
one thing that we do is the girls learn tailoring. Like this, what I'm wearing now is made by my kids at home. So we make really nice products. We stress quality. We stress things that are different that people would actually pay money to buy, not just because it's made by an orphan, but because it's a nice thing to buy.
So in fact, if someone, for example, happened to be in the audience, is watching you and what have you, and probably developed an interest in a gorgeous jacket like that, or actually wanted perhaps to make some contributions, how would they do it? How do they access you?
You place your orders. We have a website, which I'm sure they'll show on the screen, but it's gracevillauganda.org. It's right there, thank you. We have a shop in Kabale. That's another way that thing that we did. Last year we acquired a shop. Like it's actually a museum / guest house / shop. So the girls work there, as well as a few. We have very limited staff. We are still growing, but the ultimate goal is for us to become sustainable as a home. Because I discovered I'm not good at fundraising, but then I'm good at coming up with creative things that we can do. So that guest house hopefully will be an income generator. The tailoring, we make laptop bags, beautiful things. We have a Facebook page, Grace Villa Uganda. If you follow, if you go on that, you'll see ways that you can actually place orders. I have, there's a company called Rogue Telecom in Uganda that ordered recently 50 laptop bags. And the other ordered 100. And the money that we get, like we got 3 million, and that's enough to pay for quite a number of kids going to school, putting them through school. So we also have our own, we dig, we cultivate, so we try to eat our own food, basically finding creative ways to sustain ourselves. But we still do need financial help.
Let me ask you the same question I asked your sister Sarah earlier. And this is about what are some of the very, very difficult challenges that you have encountered, and how, where you, or have you been able to overcome them?
So many challenges. I like what she said, the challenges, they inspire you to get you to kind of become stronger and get creative and think outside the box. So a big one is the finances. Our kids kept getting chased away from school because we were not fulfilling the, and they were my kids now, because these are now my kids. You know, you see your kids going to school and they have shoes, fish on their shoes, you know, which you never thought your kids, you know, seeing your kids with old shoes and backpacks. So finances is a big, big issue. But I've learned to work with the schools. Now the schools trust us because we've never gone and ended a school term without fulfilling the school fees payment. And our school fees comes up to about $20,000 a term. And we have three school terms in a year in Uganda. So it's a lot of money, but somehow, creative ways, kind people who send donations, and create, you know, people who sponsor the kids, and we've somehow managed to get through it. Another big issue is not being able to help as many people as you wish you could. That's a cause of pain.
There's a saying, of course, that you go to war with the army that you have rather than perhaps the army that you wish you had.
And imagine if you're on the ground, though. You would really wish for a bigger army if you're actually in the war. So I live at Grace Villa with the girls. People come. She's mentioned it, how everybody expects you to help. But these people are not just expecting because they're, you know, they also want to be independent. They wish they couldn't, you know, they wish they could pay their own kid, you know, their own way through school. But people come every single day through our gate.
They probably have exaggerated, you know, expectations out of you. After all, you lived in the United States for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you probably have gotten something from the land of milk and honey or something of that sort. Let me ask you something personal. And this is really a question that I want the three of you to respond to. What would you say is the single most important decision that you have ever made in life so far? And what about the single most regrettable decision so far?
I know for a fact that this decision to pack up and leave my life in the U.S. And move not to Kampala, which is the city, but to Kabale, which is considered a rural, which not, I don't think it's rural, but to Kabale.
But it's a beautiful place,
after all. Yeah. That was that changed my life. That completely shifted the course of my life, because I was leaving a steady job. I was leaving my friends, because imagine the community I developed back there. Mm-hmm. I was leaving relationships that I had cultivated, and then moving, and imagine moving to Kabale. I'm now a mother of over 200 kids, mm-hmm. although in the home we only have 24, but in the project we have over 200 kids who I see every week, most of them. So I've suddenly become a mother of hundreds. So that was my big life shifter.
So what about...
Regrets?
Yes.
What's your regret?
One? Okay. No catalog, by the way. Just one.
You want me to go?
Yeah, you have a regret. You go, Alan. Okay,
so one of my greatest decisions is definitely pursuing my purpose, which is giving back, making a difference, and helping less privileged kids and orphans. It's just fulfilling. You wake up each day and it's not just about you, but it's about thinking what you can do and what you can help to make a difference in the community. One of my regrets is not starting this early. I wish I had started like 5, 6.
One single most regrettable decision. Yeah.
not starting this project early. I wish I'd done that like 5, 6 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Now, interesting, there must be some people definitely watching us here. And if one of them, you know, developed, for example, an interest in your group, how would they access you?
Most definitely, we're looking for help, we're looking for support. Nothing is too small, too big, time, skills, volunteering. So definitely our website, www.empowerthechildren.org. Please check the website. Send us an email, contact us. And also, I forgot to mention that support and funding. We've teamed up with Amazon. They have something called Amazon Smile, where if you make a purchase, if you go on Amazon and you put in Empower the Children, it will come up with our link. If you make a purchase through Amazon, Amazon will donate a portion
anything
of
anything from Amazon?
Yes.
I know it is very famous.
But definitely, you have to type in Empower the Children to bring up our account. Mm. Then Amazon will make a, donate a portion of the purchase price to Empower the Children. So as Ruth said, creative ways. And also regarding funding, individual companies and organizations definitely have to help. Like in Ghana, even though we are about to start our center in Ghana, we have Datu's School, Dansuman and Zimal, who are partnered with Empower the Children to provide education and sport development to the kids. So these are individual organizations who are reaching out to help. So definitely the website is empowerthechildren.org.
Interesting. What about you, Sarah? How can anybody, you know, in the audience or watching or whatever, access you?
Well, we have a website that is www.hearttoheartinitiative.org. Now, when you come to that too, it's a number two, hearttoheartinitiative.org. And then here in the United States, you can contact Heart to Heart Hand in Hand International through Mama Love, Gloria Cooper in Oregon. They are very helpful. They do not have much, but they try to fundraise and see that we can really do something in the communities of Uganda, rescue another child, reset our child, follow up on a case. Mm. So that is very helpful. And you can also find us on Facebook, Heart to Heart Initiative on Facebook, and also follow up because I do a lot of works on my personal Facebook page, Sarah Kwagalaka Sozi. I write some works of literature. I'm thinking of publishing a book next month. So please follow up. If you get in touch with us, you can help where you can. You can volunteer with us. Come and let's go to the communities. Let's serve the children. Let's serve the parents. The women need help. We have a problem of absentee fathers. It's growing too high. So if these women can get some support, if the men can be talked to, we can have some changes and rebuild the families in Uganda.
What about those who are worried about ethics, about accountability? How can you, for example, assure a potential contributor that their monies or their contribution will definitely be put to good use, that there is a guarantee that that money is going to be put to good use? Because let's face it, not you, but there are a lot of other scams around the world.
Right, and that is why I was saying, if you're within the United States, we have a very trustable organization, Heart to Heart, Hand in Hand International. They've visited us in Uganda, they've slept with us, they've worked with us, they know how we operate. We have reports on our pages, we have reports on our websites. They will have the work done. And if anyone is interested, please come and join us. Do it with us and see how we implement it. Then you see where the funds go.
Yes.
And to add, you can always, by their fruits, you can know them.
Yes.
We are three individual, normal people who have sacrificed and given back and helping these children.
Yes.
So, and as Ruth said, it takes a lot of personal funding and sacrifice.
Mm.
So, just as how we started putting in our own individual funds and money, that means that we are really committed. Mm-hmm. This thing comes from the core of who we are. And it's not something that we are into for personal gains or anything like that, no, because it takes a lot of money and sacrifice, trust me. I mean, I could be saving my money to be going on a vacation to the Bahamas, mm-hmm. you know, but I haven't made that decision yet. So definitely we are really committed to do the work, to put the funds where it's supposed to be. So I know that people have a mentality. Definitely there are people who have abused the non-profit organization, but definitely there are a few that are doing great works out there, just like what Empower the Children is doing, and with Grace and with Heart to Heart Initiative.
When you look at the African diaspora, it seems to be in a situation or positioned in a place that helps them to attract a lot of resources, a lot of money, and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever thought about figuring out a way of taking advantage of the African diaspora in North America, for example, tapping into your Ghanaian, your Ugandan, and what have you?
Yeah, the diaspora has helped me a lot in some ways, and they are part of this story. I'm the past president of International Community of Banyakigezi, which is basically a collective of people from you know, our part of the world in the diaspora. And then I'm also a member of UNA, Uganda North American Association, which is the same thing but on a greater scale.
Mm.
I come for the conventions. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to meet people who you probably wouldn't meet when you're home. Like, you can access members of people come here, investors come here, and all sorts of people who can help you when you're on the ground. Then I also always bring my items to vend. I have a table, a Grace Villa table, and people come to that table not only to buy things, but to give me some good ideas, to connect me to people, because I can't think of everything. And many people come in with great ideas. So that's one way that I am using the diaspora to help me. But also, you managed to access Amazon, which is great. I'm still trying to find a way of putting our things online here in the States, people things from Uganda. But before I can, I have my products here, so people in the diaspora help me to ship them out to people who make place orders in Canada and the USA and the UK.
Mm.
So I think I recently went for a diaspora event at the UN in New York, and people were discussing this, like the synergy between people here and the people at home. How to bring best practices, exchange best practices, how to benefit from each other. So I think there is definitely a movement going on where Africans in the diaspora are really, really thinking about home and thinking about not just moving home, but finding ways from where they are, using their networks to help people back home.
And to
if you had an opportunity to look direct in your camera and talk to the audience, what is it that you would say to the audience that makes it really very imperative for them to support you?
Mm-hmm.
Look in the camera and talk to them.
Where's the camera? There it is.
Yeah.
thank you for listening. We are bridges. I consider myself a bridge for these children. If I didn't exist, how else would they would find it harder to access these things that we're bringing to them? These children did not want to be born in the conditions that they were born in. Their parents didn't want to be born in these. They would want to make their own decisions. They would want to be able to go to hospital and access health care. They would want to be able to access education. Without these things, they are basically staying in the same bubble. We are trying to empower them, not enable, but empower them to be able to access education, access things that will broaden their minds and help them to remove themselves from the situation that they're in and move on to a level that they can actually become beneficial to themselves, to their families, and to their communities. So join hands with us. I liked what they said in the promo before. They said, when you see that donate button, many people just skip by it. It's important to us. I mean, sometimes I'm not a good fundraiser. I feel odd sometimes asking people to help financially, but we do absolutely need your financial help, but even help in kind. So if you hear about us, if you hear about Grace Villa, please listen and act. And you're welcome to Kabale. Come to the beautiful hills of Kabale. You'd love it. Thank
you, Shaka. Very interesting, very interesting. Thank you very much too, Walrus. What about you, Sarah? Or should they help you?
Really? Well, I'd like to let you know that children belong in families. We can have many orphanages, we can have many children's homes, but if this child grows up in an orphanage or children's home, there is something they are missing. I really would feel that if we can help place back these children in families, there are many other police stations in Kampala, in Jinja, in Mukono, wherever, in every place of Uganda, children are hanging on the streets. Let's come and work together. Here as Heart to Heart Initiative, we are very willing to do the work. Support us. We will go to the slums. We will go to the streets. We'll go to the communities. We'll educate the people. We'll let them know. And we have done it without money. We have done it without funds.
What about the government, for example? It has certain departments, frankly, that are supposed to be providing, you know, adding value. What about social welfare departments and what have you?
Yes. Number one, I would like to speak about these departments. I work closely with the police and the probation office.
You have a minute.
The probation is the welfare office, but the government allocates very little resources to that office. If they could increase those resources, probably the welfare office would be of help to us.
Very
but
good.
They don't have.
You have the last word?
Once again, thank you for having me on the show. One of my favorite quotes is by Magic Johnson, in which he said, every child needs a little bit of hope, a little bit of help, and someone to believe in them. And that's why we are here. We believe in these children. These are our future leaders. And it's up to each and every one of us. So I challenge you watching the show today, to take action. Visit the website, empowerthechildren.org. Many ways to support, connect with us, send us an email, and we'll definitely get back to you. So thank you, and share this broadcast on Facebook as well. Thank you.
On that note, thanks to our three distinguished guests, Emilia Ajay, Ruth Kendeje Diabahika, and Sarah Kwagara Kasozi. Thanks to our field stations, along with our viewers and listeners, for many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Pate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better Africa, not bitter. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.